Amen. You glad you're here tonight? How many would rather be in the best jail in the area than to be here tonight? Let me see your hands. All right. Glad you feel that way. Take your Bibles and go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua and chapter 1 tonight. I want to apply what we're going to say tonight to what's happening in this church. First, I see the call of a godly leader. And that's what you're looking for, the call of a godly leader. And then the charge to a godly leader. And then the characteristics of a godly leader in this chapter, as well as some others that we're going to note. First of all, the call of a godly leader. He's the only, I'm referring to the book of Joshua and the name Joshua. Now we come to verse 1, and now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua. And underline that name. It means Jehovah Savior. He's the only one in the Old Testament or in the New Testament that has at least four different names, how you look at it. You look at that name, Joshua, I think of that man, and he is God's divine choice to be the new leader. And I am praying fervently for Brother Herdman. These men have worked extremely hard to bring about what's going to take place Sunday. They've worked hard at it. Spent hundreds of hours. I've been in some of those meetings. Matter of fact, my assignment was twofold. One was to have the encouragement, and the other was to keep Larry in line. I failed on one of those assignments. I'll let you figure out which one. But I thought about Brother Herdman as he's coming. And you may say to yourself, are you trying to promote the candidate? Amen. Is exactly what I want to do tonight. Because I believe that he is God's man. These men have spent hundreds of hours to see that what's going to take place Sunday takes place. Brother Lastly, who I called earlier today when I got in town, I was concerned about him because I heard he hadn't been feeling well and he's not here tonight. And Sunday, he went out to eat with Brother Herdman and his family. And he came that night, he said to me, pointing, he said, he's the man this church needs. So you have a man who pastored this church for 40-something years who's in agreement with what has already been brought to your attention in this man. Now, if you're not happy that I'm promoting him tonight, fire me. By the way, that's the whole goal, seriously, that I leave you and God's replacement comes here. I will be back because Larry still needs my help. But if you will look here, it is interesting that he says here, now after the death of Moses, that the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spake unto Joshua. You get this, folks. God is not tied to any one person. He'll go on, even after Brother Lastly retired, praise the Lord, the church went on. And the church will go on and God will replace leaders at times. And I think about this, it simply demonstrates the sovereignty of God. That God is, even though Moses was very much dead, God was very much alive. And you're without a pastor at this moment, and God knows that, and God has given you an opportunity by His grace. Did you hear what I said? By His grace, to give you a pastor. I got a phone call the other day. I spent almost an hour on the phone to one of the men of a church in South Carolina who needed some counsel, I guess. He wanted to talk to me. His church is falling apart. The pastor had resigned and went to another ministry, and then they formed a pulpit committee, and the whole church is literally split. That did not happen here. Aren't you glad? Say amen to that. That didn't happen here. God kept such unity here. And I challenged him over the phone as to what advice I could give him at this time. My heart ached for that church. It's had a tremendous reputation in the past, and now it is torn literally apart. Fractions, fractions, fractions. You don't have that. Aren't you glad tonight? Aren't you rejoicing in the Lord? But if you will turn to Numbers 13 for just a moment, you find two other names given to this man, this godly leader. We see in that name Joshua, he is God's divine choice. And I believe that Brother Herdman could well be said he is God's divine choice. That will come back if he's voted on, of course. But when I come to chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, would you note verse 16? Because here you have two other names given to this man. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Joshua. There, notice that. It's a little different than the other. And he is one of the 12 spies sent out there. And he is a tremendous defender of the truth. You remember when the 12 spies were sent out, only two of them, Caleb and Joshua, came back with a good report because they were men of God's divine truth. They were devoted to that. They defended God's truth. They said you can't go into the land. The giants are big and we're like grasshoppers. And Joshua and Caleb gave speeches that you ought to read concerning it in the third chapter, where they defended God. We need a pastor who will defend God, don't we? Living in a world where that wonderful name of God is not defended anymore. So his name is Joshua, God's divine choice. He is Joshua, God's defender of truth. And then notice here in verse 16 as well, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. That name there means deliverer. One who delivers. And so Joshua, the divine choice, Joshua, God's defender of truth, and God's deliverer of the children of Israel. If the Lord tarries, he's coming in 5 or 10 years now. I'm hoping that your church is stronger even then than it is today, and you stand for truth. There's one other name you don't find in the Old Testament for him is Joshua, God's divine choice. He chose Joshua. His name is Joshua, which is God's defender of truth, one of the 12 spies. His name is Joshua here, God here in representing God's truth. But there's one other name. Turn with me to the New Testament, all the way to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to do something tonight that I do not believe I'm hurting the scriptures when I do this, but if you look at Hebrews 4 and verse 8, I call that the rest chapter. You find the word rest in verse 1, you find the word rest in verse 3 twice, the word rest in verse 4 twice, the word rest in verse 8, once in verse 9, once in verse 10, once in verse 11. But look here in verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, there would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Would you write by that name, Jesus, Joshua? Because that's who the reference is. He was not only called Joshua, 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 but that name could also be translated Jesus here. He's not referring to our Savior, but he's referring to the Old Testament Jesus. If you happen to have a Scofield Bible on verse 8, you'll see it has a reference there to point out it's referring to Jesus. And why? What would it be the similarity? Because I want to tell you something. Joshua was a divine example, devoted person to God. And so his name also could be called Jesus. That was a common name back in those days. Many Old Testament people were called Jesus. Or in the New Testament, Jesus could also be called Joshua. Means divine savior. Now look, go back there with me for a moment to our passage there in the book of Joshua. So we see this man here, these four names, Joshua, certainly a divine choice, Joshua, God's divine deliverer, Joshua, God's defender of the truth, and then Jesus, who was devoted to God. Notice secondly something else. Notice the charge given to this leader. Three times you'll find a phrase that is mentioned three times. Would you look at verse 6? Be strong and of good courage. Go down to verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Look at those. And then look at verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Three times in the text, Joshua here is reminded to be strong, and he's reminding the people as well. Now notice the first time in verse 6. The idea here is to be occupied with his will, God, with the will of God. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance in the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. It was the will of God that Israel was to occupy the land. Joshua, I'm going to use you to perform God's will. And God has a will for this church. And God is going to use that leader to perform that so that this church will remain in the will of God. I think about your mission program. It's one of the best I've ever seen. You get the wrong one in here, and it will not be that way if you're not careful. But you have a man, and Brother Herdman, I've talked to him. He loves missions. And you need someone there that has and wants to be in the will of God. He's a man who understands the bus ministry. Matter of fact, he was the bus director for a number of years, Franklin Road Baptist Church, with his brother-in-law. So the first time, to be occupied with the will of God. Look at verse 2 here. And Moses, my servant, and now, therefore, arise, go do the work. We must do what God wants to do, God's will. Second time you find it is in verse 7. Let's read it, and then along with that, you pick up there an important verse, verse 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Not only is it important to have one who is occupied with the will of God, but is obedient to the word of God. Moses, you are selected there to complete what Moses started. Obedience to the will of God. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do according to all. All. You know what the word all means in the Hebrew, don't you? You ready for this? It means all. Everything. This man will come and he will preach things that you will make you very uncomfortable. You need that at times. I've often said that the purpose of a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comforted. How easy it is to get so comfortable in the ministry that God wants a strong leader to stir. He's not going to go which way the wind blows. And how important that is. I can remember my first church. I've been reminiscing the last few days as I think about you getting a pastor and my first pastor. I had 15 members, 30 in attendance. The other 15 was totally opposed to everything I said, but was the only Bible-believing church here. But they believed that that once you were saved, you didn't sin. Matter of fact, one of them met me at the door, and she said, I want you to know we love you. I love it when somebody said, but. We want you to know we don't believe we've sinned since we've been saved. And as a smart-aleck young kid, I said, you just did. You lied. And I remember how I was to overcome that. Was I not to preach God's truth? I turned over to the book of Jeremiah. Matter of fact, take a moment and turn there with me to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 1 here. As God had called Jeremiah, even before he was saved. Look, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet of the nations. Your preacher, Herdman, was called of God long before he was born. Amen? It's hard to understand. I was called long before I was born. As a teenager, there'd be no way anyone would ever think I'd be a pastor. As a matter of fact, I know it was an impossibility unless God did something. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said to me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, be not afraid of their faces like that. They would set up toward the front and try to make faces at me when I would preach truth. Well, I overcame that. Back in those days, before I had eye surgery, I had to wear glasses all the time, and when they would start looking at me that way, I'd just take my glasses off and let it rip. My prayer is that your pastor will come and let it rip. Preach the whole counsel of God for the glory of God. And so God, I remember that day when I went up to the local cemetery and I spent 2 or 3 hours just praying. Just praying. And after a while in my prayer, I got excited. begin to lift my hands to heaven. And I didn't know it, but the local caretaker of the cemetery was there. And he went back to what I called the first church of the deep freeze, the local liberal church. Said, you wouldn't believe that young crazy preacher. He's up there raising his hand, talking to the dead, going around from tombstone to tombstone. I wasn't talking to dead folks. I was talking to the living God. And some of them said, we're going to go over and find out what that felt was like. And they went, oh, came over, and several got saved. The church began to grow. Because you have to be a defender of truth. And that name, Jehoshua, as well, and Joe. Look with me as we go back here. Not only do we find here the first time, be occupied with my will. My will is that this church, that group of people would go into the promised land and God will fulfill his promises. I dream about what God will do with this church. I really do. I think it. When I say dream, I don't mean as I go to sleep. And I mean visions of what God can do here. I hope you get those same visions. Obedient to my word. And thirdly, to be overcome with my wonders. The third time you find in verse 9, have I not commanded, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now jump over to the third chapter real quick, because after he has been chosen now, when you come to chapter 3, Joshua is speaking in verse 5. Joshua said unto all the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. They were not only to be occupied with God's will, to be obedient to God's word, to be overcome with God's wonders when God performed. The word wonders here is the miraculous. My prayer is that you will see such unusual miracles in this ministry yet to come. There are three things in this third chapter also that I don't want to miss here. I want to talk to you about. The first one is found there in verse 8. The second one is found in verse 15. And the third one, we go to the fourth chapter, which is found in verse 19. But there are three thoughts here. As he to overcome, he said, look there again, go back up to verse 5. Joshua said to the people, sanctify it, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. That ought to excite you. God would like to do the most miraculous wonders through this church yet to come. It's good to see what's happened in the past, amen? But you can't live in the past. You need to move forward to greater things. You need to believe that God once again is going to anoint this church like it's previously been anointed, even in a greater anointing. Three things are found. The first one of verse 8. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, would you come to the brink of the water of Jordan? They were standing on the brink of a new day for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That's what I want to say. You are standing on the brink of a new day for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You're standing on the brink. My prayer is because you're standing on that brink, you understand how important it is to be here Sunday and vote right. Go down to verse 15. Not only were they standing on the brink, you're standing on the brink of a new day to get a pastor. Boy, I've appreciated my time here, but be quite blunt with you. I'm an interim. I'm not your pastor. I don't know how many people have come up to me and said, we wish you could be our pastor. Few have said, if you weren't so old. I'm too old. I know that. Aren't we, Harry? We're too old. But I've served my time, 50 years, 40 of it in senior pastor, three churches. I can remember when I was in my 20s, my first church. I never forget our first business meeting. We voted on the color of the carpet. It only took 3 hours. I learned from that, never, for two reasons. Number one, I'm colorblind. I don't care if it was white. But let's not get divided over stupid things. We couldn't get it so. And then we began to grow, and we began to realize that was not the way to do it. God's so good to teach us things you didn't learn in college, brother. I was thinking of David Gibbs coming Sunday, and I haven't seen David for probably 10 years. We'll hug each other. We'll not forget the day when he defended our church with a lawsuit. But a couple folks who had money, wanted to run the church, made all kinds of accusations, and had to be church disciplined, and sued the church. Man, that's suing God. That's suing God. And then as a result of that, they wanted to bargain with us. They said, if you'll remove the discipline, we'll rejoin and then remove our membership. No, that's not what the Bible says. They needed to what? Repent. That word's still in the Bible. We had to use it. Occupied with his will, obedient to his word, and overcome by his wonders, and we saw God perform miracle after miracle I've never seen in my life. I got so Baptist-ical all the time. I ran around there. I walked on the pews of the church. Have I walked on these pews yet? I haven't done that yet. Maybe I should do that before I leave. I don't know, but I've walked on pews, praising God for what God has done. My wife says, "No, honey, the kids aren't allowed to do that. Why should you do that?" Honey, I said, "Well, show me your license to preach." But she's right. Hello. Think with me, not only standing on the brink of a new day, but stepping into the brim of a major decision there in verse 15, and as they bear the ark, were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of water. Sunday is going to be so you're going to step into the brim of a major decision. Wow. I've seen several business meetings since I've been here, but there's none like it's going to be next Sunday. None like it. And I'm asking you today to step into the brim by coming, letting Brother Herdman have the opportunity to be your pastor, and let the miracle take place just as Jordan parted. So they walked on dry land. That was a miracle. And to have your pastor will be the miracle God, the man. You say, well, wait a minute now. These were only men that select him, but these were men led by God. Men led by God. I've been in those meetings. Men that went in total unity to get the man to come before you. And if these men spent all these hours, don't do that again. Get too old to do that. I used to, when I was in Astoria, I broke the thing right here, so I won't do that again. This time I break my leg. Understand, Bob? Stepping into the brim of a major decision. God giving you, the pastor, an opportunity as these men have worked so diligently and hard. Then I look over here to the chapter 4 and verse 19. Now, I have a heavy heart tonight, so if you say you're a little different tonight, my heart's heavy tonight. If you miss this, you have any idea what you're missing? Verse 19, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. They were not only standing on the brink of a new day for Buffalo Ridge, you are stepping to the brim of a major decision, be starting over the border of a renewed determination. Starting over the border of a new determination. You think you got a good bus ministry now? It could be greater, amen? You have people joining the church, you can have more join the church. You want to, listen, I've been in the meetings where Mullins is trying to tell us how we're going to, we got so much money in Meesons, and this guy works good at it. This guy ought to be in charge of your mission program. Let's take a vote right now. No, I can't do that. But he knows what he's doing. What? Amen. But I can see that's $500,000 in missions a few years. I could see we're going to have to build a new auditorium. Am I and Steve the only ones to see that tonight? I want some amens or I'm going to keep preaching. I think we need to eventually fill it up and build a new auditorium. Good. All five of you. That's charged to a godly leader. You're standing on the brink of a new day. You're stepping into the brim of a major decision on Sunday. Don't take it lightly. When that decision, you'll be starting over the border of a renewed determination to have a greater church than you ever dreamed possible. Last thing, I often talk about the old days when revivals were major. I think you can still have revival today. I do. I believe that. Because we've got the same Holy Ghost, same God. Now think with me for a moment. The characteristic of a godly leader. I think there are five of them. This preacher has it. First is to be obedient to the Lord. Look there with me in verse 1 and verse 17, is it? I want you to turn to look at. Look at verse 17. According, the people said to him, according as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken to thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Be obedient. Now I thank God for Brother Lastly. I really do. We and our good friends. But as you were obedient to him, you'll be obedient to the man that God places in there. Be obedient to him because he's going to be obedient to God. Now, don't live in the old good old days. The good old days are a combination of poor memories and dissatisfaction with today. These are the good old days for us in this church. And so, you're to be obedient to the Lord when this new leader comes. As you follow Brother Lastly, Brother Jody, you'll follow this man and let God use him. And don't compare him. Don't compare him to anybody. You're not only to be obedient to this man as he is obedient to the Lord. This man is to operate on the promises of God. Look at verse 3 in verse 4 and 5. He said to Joshua, every place of the sole of your feet, I'm in chapter 1, shall tread upon that I have given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to this great river, the river Euphrates, at the land the Hittite, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. You know what he said to Joshua? He said, claim it for me. You're to operate, you're not to be obedient, but you're to operate on the promises of God. You know, this whole city, Gray, Johnson City, Bristol, all of them, is the land God wants you to conquer right here. There's a lot of houses, yet a lot of people out here to reach. Amen? And then continue to reach mission fields the way you're doing. I'm praying that our Christian college should be overflowed with young people from this church preparing for the ministry of some time. We need more of that. I mean that are really prepared. We got some that are going to cemeteries instead of seminaries. They're not hearing about God. I told you I was going to give you my heart tonight. They obedient to operate on the promise that they overcome the obstacles. Look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest deserve to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. One of the great tragedies is that Moses could not overcome his own obstacles. Or the obstacle, he never made it to the promised land. What did he do? Remember when he hit that rock twice? Say, well, I can't believe God got upset with him because he hit the rock twice. I believe it because God told him to hit it once. By the way, that rock was a picture of Christ dying on Calvary, and he only died once. Moses, get your theology right. And I'm glad today Joshua brought the people into the promised land. This church is going to face many obstacles yet to overcome. I'm not too sure, maybe not in my lifetime, but I believe that the government's going to come down hard on churches one day. You're going to need somebody in here to take care of you, get you through that time. I'm California, the left coast. When I pastored out there for 20 years, my second church that I pastored, they wanted to license our ministries. And I went and left my church for 3 months, stomped this whole state of California. We had about 2,000 show up at the Capitol. They knew we meant business and got the law changed. We had to fight the battles. I remember when the Department of Social Services wanted to pay us a visit. They said, we understand you spank children here. I said, yeah, we do if they get out of line. We got permission from the parents. And that one social worker said to me, well, what do you use? I said, a paddle. She said, would you show me the paddle? I showed her the paddle. She said, well, how hard do you hit them? I said, bend over. I'll demonstrate. Well, she got out of there like anything. You see, we're living in a time they want to take our churches over. You need a strong leader. The battles are raging. He not only was obedient and told the people to be operated on the promise of God, we're going to claim this for God. He overcome the obstacle. But he occupied his mind with God's thought. Look at verse 8. It was a great verse. Your pastor, Herdman, I know him. He'll occupy his thoughts with the things of God. And he'll teach you how to occupy your thoughts with the things of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there and night. that thou mightest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. It's a great verse. That's occupying your mind. That's what the church is all about. So that you will be in his control. I'll end one final thing. Verse 11. Pass to the hosts. Command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals for within 3 days. Would you underline those words, 3 days? He not only taught the people to be obedient, to operate on the promises of God, to overcome the obstacles of resistance, to occupy his mind with God's thought in verse 8, but to obtain victory, living in the power of the third day. Isn't it interesting? It wasn't day one, wasn't day four, wasn't day two. What happened on the third day in the New Testament? He arose from the grave, and we need to live in the power of the third day. We need to pray for that power for your pastor. All God's people said, I want to do something. I want us to spend the next 5 minutes. I want you to get with one or two people. I want you to just, it's 7:50 now, 7:55, we'll have one final song at the end. I just want you to pray for Sunday. Find somebody near you. Just spend the next 5 minutes in prayer. Amen? Let's get serious about what's going to happen Sunday. Would you do that right now? Go ahead and I'll close. Let's all stand together. We're going to have one final song. I don't know, as you come here tonight, you shouldn't vote unless you're right with God. There's things in your life you need to find a place at this altar. I pray that you will. If you want to just come and encourage the Lord to encourage you to come, I don't know what reasons you'd come tonight. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, we got a Bible that will show you how heaven is real. You can know for sure. He's going to sing just a couple stanzas of a closing hymn.
If you want to turn to 470, you can sing with me tonight. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Not going to go back, we're going to go forward. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.
John, don't drink here. Hey, I've been giving it. I've been giving it to the preacher. He drinks a big glass.
It's the whole thing, too.
Do that for me, too. Is this enough for you?
I'd take a big one.
You want a big one?
I would, yeah.
All right, I can get you a big one.
Yeah.
I got some stuff left.
All right. Yeah, that'll be good.